Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you. Father, I come by the blood of Jesus confessing my sins. Lord, I ask for your mercy to be faithful. Ask for grace of the fathers of the house to rest upon me. Let me to teach, to preach, to minister as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, Father, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal and eternal work in the hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened, revelation of the word that goes forth today, and our emotions to be controlled by the power of the Spirit. As your word goes forth, let it break yokes, let it be, let it cause glory to go to the name of Jesus and blessing to all the sons of men. Also ask for help, Lord God. Help me to redeem this time, to be concise and precise, not saying things that are necessary. Make me, Lord, a scribe instructed of the kingdom, bringing out of the treasure of all things new and old, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And last time we are teaching on this, we spent quite a lot of time in verses 9 and 10. So let's do a brief recap. Praise the Lord. Here in verses 9, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 10, Paul was talking about what God has done for us in Christ. You know, and he began to tell his son Timothy in the letter that I wrote to him. So let's look at it briefly. Let's read from verses 9 and 10 together. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. But it's now made manifest. Let's read together. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise the Lord. So here Paul begins to tell us what God has done for us Christians, those that get born again in Christ Jesus. And he said it was done before the world began. That is, it wasn't when man failed that God made a plan for the redemption of man. The Bible says Jesus Christ was the lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Praise the Lord. So he said two things. He said, he talked about our common salvation. That's what Jude called it. That is generally being born again. And then our purpose as Christians, which is very important. So you see, we start from getting born again. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's how we get born again. That is the starting point. You see, but there's nothing you start, you're not supposed to finish. There's always a finishing point. And the finishing is the fulfillment of our purpose, which it talks about a holy calling. Say a holy calling. As our Bible says it. It says that in the book of Romans, it talks about it. It says that the gifts and the calling, say gifts and calling of God is without repeat. There are many gifts, but it's only one calling for us Christians, especially in this end time, that the grace is being reinforced to fulfill this calling. Say gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I say God is not going to change his mind, especially in this end time, about the purpose of our calling. Praise the Lord. Let's open Romans chapter 8, verse 29, just to read, so that we can understand these things as we continue. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Paul was talking, saying, for whom he did foreknow. Let's read together. From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Next verse. Next verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified, saying, time. Say in time, that's in this lifetime. He said, whom he predestinated. Pastor has taught it over and over. God does not predestinate individuals, but he predestinates events and the conditions. So the Christians, or those that get born again and fulfill the conditions, they become predestinated. And that's why he said that to be conformed to the image of his son. He said, whom he called, them he also justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And those he justified, he only justified them by the blood. He said, he also glorified, which is what we are blessing God for in this season. Praise the Lord. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. So God had purposed this in his heart. The Bible says that Jesus Christ suffered for us, that he might bring many sons unto glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So verse 10 now begins to talk about all these things that he mentioned, our common salvation, and then being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that it was not possible until Christ appeared. Are you following me? I mentioned the other time that in the Old Testament, they could not fulfill the purpose of Christ. In fact, in the Old Testament, they were not born again. God was just Israel, the promise you know for them. The Bible says that Hebrews says that, Lord, they did not obtain the promise. But even though they had a good report. But thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ came. And when he came, the appearing is talking about, there are three appearings here. When Jesus Christ appears in us, are you with me? Then he comes, appears for us, and then he appears with us when he comes at the rapture. But see, what we are talking about here, we are talking about, is talking about when Jesus Christ came, when he died, and then he went to hell, and then God raised him from it. That was what gave power for us to be able to fulfill these things, get born again, and fulfill our destiny. Praise the Lord. That's why Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you are saved through faith, not of your own works. That's how we get born again. But also the other aspect of this, that which I've been talking about, is this. There's also purpose and destiny to fulfill, which is to conform to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we looked at this scripture, Romans chapter 4, verse 16, where Paul was talking, and he said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. You see, it is of grace. Let's read together. It is of faith that it might be by what? Grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to what? All the seed. Not only to that which is of the law, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham. And we've been taught properly about this. I won't take too much time on that. That is, this thing is available to all the seed. Because it is by grace. Are you with me? And that promise is this, as we've been taught, that his seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Which the gate here is not speaking about literal physical gate, but it's talking about the eye gate, in which the life of God is made manifest in our mortal flesh. Praise the Lord. And he did these things by doing three great things, which you can also see, are you with me, in that same verse. And he said that what? He has abolished death. Say abolished death. And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Thank God for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other gospel that brings these things to pass, that can abolish death, and then also bring life and immortality. Like, we spent quite some time talking about the last time. And I said, what does it mean to abolish death? He's talking here about spiritual death that has reigned from the fall of Adam. Are you with me? So the Bible says that, what does it mean? It says to abolish is to inactivate, to deprive of force, influence, and power. That's why the master said, one of I rose from the dead. He said something, I have the keys of hell and of death. I said, I have the authority. Are you with me? So let's open to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. This is a very important verse we need to look at. So that we are no longer afraid of death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, we read. 14 and 15. Say, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took what? Part of the same. That through what? Death. He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Next verse. And deliver what? Them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So God does not want to be subject to bondage. When you understand that Christ has defeated the enemy, he has removed the sting from death through the resurrection. Praise the Lord. That is why when he did that, he brought another law into existence called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8 verse 2, say the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from what? The law of sin and death. Before, what law of sin and death was in operation. But when Christ died and gave his life as a ransom for us, and when we get born again and we see that life, we are set free from that law of sin and death if we activate that law. So the next thing we spoke about extensively last time was about the life of God. Say the life of God. Now, we are talking about three great things that Christ did, which is the entire summary of the gospel. Everything that we have to do is in between these three things. Abolish death, brought life and immortality. That's from the beginning to the end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we talk about life of God. As we all know, it is the spiritual liquid inside God that makes God, God. And the Bible says here in John chapter 5, verse 26, as the Father had life in himself, so has he given the Son also to have life in himself. And we spoke that this life, you can't receive once. It's given in measures. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. It says that, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature. The earlier verse we read, chapter we read in Hebrews, says that he partook of the same nature we had. So that is why he now gave us also the opportunity to partake of what? The divine nature, which is the life of God. And we receive it in measures. And this is the whole essence of what we need to know, all essence of our Christian. When we understand this, we are not going anywhere if we don't understand the importance of the life of God. It is what got you born again, and it's what is going to help you fulfill your purpose in life. That life will now move from your spirit to your soul and to your physical. But the first one was instantaneous. But the second one now is a gradual process. Are you following? That's why he gave us the parable, Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. You have to turn there. Talking about the parable of the three measures of meal. He said that there was the kingdom of God is like a woman that hid leaven inside three measures of meal. But he now says something, said, until the whole be what? Leavened. That is in summary our purpose. God wants our spirits, not just our spirits, our souls, our bodies to be filled with the life of God. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. And the other time, we didn't talk much about this. I'll just read scriptures to support it because of time. Immortality to life. Time is not subject to physical or spiritual death. This is what we would experience after the resurrection, during resurrection. Let's open to Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Explains it. See, this is the joker. Are you following me? There are three hopes. You have the hope of this life of physical things. You also have the hope of becoming conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. And then the hope of the resurrection. Let's read together. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Are we there? Who shall do what? Change our vile body. That it may be what? Fashioned like unto his glorious body. According to what? The working whereby is able even to what? Subdue all things unto himself. You see, this is what Paul saw. We're going to get with that. This is part of what caused this persecution. Satan did not want people to know that they had been defeated. I follow him. So, Paul began to talk to them. Open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. When the brethren began to doubt about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he began to tell them, he said, look, if we own this life only, we have hope. Then we have all men most miserable. You know, it's a chapter that I don't know the kind of anointing was on Paul at that time. When he was reading it, verse 1, let's read verse 1. Because we are talking about what Christ has brought to light or revealed by the gospel. Are we there? Say, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and whereby you what? Stand. He was telling them, let's move because of time. Verse 52. I read that so we can see that. You see, Paul never saw Jesus Christ in his lifetime. We didn't meet him. So that's why he said, I'm declaring to you that which by the gospel. And he explained this is more than those that ate the last supper with Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 52, let's read. What does he say? Are we there? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what? Last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. Next verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. Next verse. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, where is thy? Death is followed up in victory. Next verse. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Next verse. The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin, what? The law. Next verse. We'll stop our verse. Yes. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Therefore, my beloved. You see, after he said, if you need to go and read that entire chapter, it will fire you up. You can look death in the face and say, to hell with you. In fact, that is where it belongs to. So therefore, my beloved brethren, he said, well, because of all this, I said from verses 1 to this verse, he said, beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. Say steadfast. Unmovable. Say no shaking. God doesn't want you to shake. Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did what? Love down their lives unto death. Be like Phedra, Shedrach, and Abednego. Say, oh king, we are not afraid to answer you. They had seen this thing. They understood it. And said, look, come. Nebuchadnezzar. If we are not going to bow, if our God refuses to deliver us. Why? Because you see, the hope they saw beyond the fire, the fiery furnace. They saw the hope of the resurrection. Do you understand me? They saw it. So they were like, okay, even if we die, we are going to be resurrected with a glorious body. Praise the Lord. Say, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Say, always. Not sometimes. So always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Say, my labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, recently, over some few weeks ago, God has been talking to me. When the critical time, let me just take one time before I continue. You see, there was a day I was praying. I woke up in the morning. Very early, I was on the floor. I was crying to God. God, have mercy. God, time is gone. Look, I'm old. I'm not crying because of any other thing that to fulfill purpose and destiny. So there was no light, you know, and I was using my torchlight. I switched it off. So my wife came to the sitting room. So immediately came to the sitting room. God spoke to me. I followed. God spoke to me. He said that this scripture, just quoted half of it to me, where it says that, he said, the day is at hand. Yes. He said, the day is at hand. So immediately God told me that. My wife came into the room, didn't know. Then God started talking to me. He said, do you know now that you cannot see what your wife is wearing, whether she's dressed properly or not? I said, yes. I was praying. I said, but what will happen if you switch on the light all of a sudden? What will happen? You will see whether she's dressed or not. The same thing is about to happen in the body of Christ. The night is fast spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light and make no provision for the flesh. You see, the day is about to dawn, folks. Get dressed spiritually. We have no time. Like God told me some time ago, he said, you don't have 40 years of wilderness experience again. The time is so short. Go ye up once. Okay. Enough of that. Let me continue. So let's go to what we have for today. Let's read from verses 11 to 44 to 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. Well, say, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You can see three of the offices in which occupied, but the prophetic is also there. In fact, once he's an apostle, all the other ministries are inside him. Are you following me? So he said, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Say, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's also able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Verse 13. Hold fast. Hold fast to the form of sound words. Say, sound words. Which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's take it one by one. You see, the reason why God called Paul to the ministry was that he sent him as an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was sent to the Jews, but Paul was sent to the Gentiles. If you open the Bible, well, Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It was when they were praying at Antioch, and God spoke. There the Bible says that there are some, you know, that are missing the law, prophets and teachers, and he mentioned them. But later on in verse 2, let's take from verse 2 because of time. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they were ministering to the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost what? Said, separate me what? Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 3 says, they fasted and they prayed, laid their hands on them, and then they sent them. That was when they received the calling to the apostolic ministry. But see, the thing is, they did not start with the Gentiles. Initially, they went to the Jews. That's why they started. In Acts chapter 13, let's put in verse 45. You see, they had been preaching to the Jews. They went there, they preached in the synagogue. Then the Jews were envious and they were misbehaving. Then at that point in time, they now gave an utterance by the Spirit of God. You see, it wasn't when they started the work that God called them in terms of ministry work now. Are you following me? Everybody has an assignment from God. That's why I said I finished the ministry that God gave me. So Acts chapter 13, verse 45. Let's just read what it says. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were what? Filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and what? Blaspheming. Next verse. Now we see. Then Paul, notice something. There has been a change of God here. Initially it was Barnabas and Paul. You see, God not only changed the leadership, he also had changed Paul's name. He had changed from Saul to Paul. His character has been dealt with. Are you following me? So I say, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That was where the shift came. And they left the Jews alone. See, the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. There is a time that God will not leave us alone. In Jesus' name. Next verse. For so, as the Lord commanded us, saying, I have what? Set thee to be what? A light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. That was when the season changed for them. And I began to occupy what I would call the last phase of the ministry that God has called them to. But you can see from that where I read, instantly when he began to fulfill that ministry, Satan began persecution. You know, he raised up persecution to the Jews out of envy. You know, they fought him because he preached that circumcision is not physical, natural circumcision, not a prerequisite for becoming born again. They fought him. In the next verse, we don't have to turn there. They stoned him in Antioch. But see, this man had made up his mind. He said, none of these things move me. They stoned him, left him for dead. Brother, why are you afraid? Nobody has stoned you yet. I don't pray they will stone you. I follow him, and the Jews are good at stoning people. They stoned him, left him for dead. The brethren surrounded him. They prayed for him. In natural things, Paul, let's take you to the hospital. Let's go and check your vital signs. No! The man went back to the place. And like Papa said years ago, if by this time, John Mark had gone. It was because he went back that he was able to get Timothy. Praise the Lord. I follow him. So they just persecuted him. Then Satan also buffeted him to three serious affliction that came against his physical body. You see, and like we said, any affliction comes by Satan. It comes for the word's sake. And also persecution. Persecution comes again so you can, so you will no longer be loyal to God. Affliction comes to try to destroy or to kill you. So Satan really wanted to kill him. But he failed in Jesus' name. So let's read it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, several of just read the verse. Says, for I think that God has set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we have made a spectacle unto the world and unto angels. Amen. You see, I laugh when I see people calling themselves apostles because they think apostles are born. But Paul says, look, God has made apostles the last. He said, like he was talking, he said, what happened? He was not saying that not in that sense, we are the last. That is, the last is the person that bears the burden. You know, if the ship is going to capsize or whatever, it is the captain that must leave last. But nowadays, what do you see? It is these hirelings that flee from the ship. So that's what that means. They are not apostles. He said, God has made us apostles and appointed us unto death. Not that God wants him to die, but we'll talk about that later. He's talking about dying to flesh. And we have made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and to men. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, read from verse 23. Let's read some of the things that this man went through, the great apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are we there? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. And more. Let's bring together. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Next verse. Of the Jews, 5 times received 5, 40 stripes saved 1. Let's keep on reading. Thrice was I beaten with the rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. So it's not that shipwreck that you saw alone that Bible recorded. He said 3. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Next verse. In journeys, often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among what? False brethren. Next verse. It says in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness. That is the credentials of an apostle. Listen to me. In answer, beside those things, that is, those ones, just leave them alone. You say, thank God, I wish I could have established churches like Paul. Listen, he said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, what? Daily. The care of the churches. The care of all the churches. You know why? All those things that God gave Paul, he will give an account to God one day. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Verse 10 in Amplified. These are some scriptures that God has been bringing to me. When I'm praying now, I'm not praying. I'm praying, say, God, please help me. I need to cleanse me from secret faults. Lord, I don't want to stand the other day and then you see people that I didn't preach gospel, they begin to get rewards. Are we there? See what he said. See what he said. It now applies only to the fivefold ministry. For every Christian said, for we must all, say, for we must all, everybody, appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ. That means right now you will not be revealed as you are. Talking about the Bema secret, say, Christ. This is the Bema secret, this is not the white judgment. So that each one, say each one, may receive what is paid. Payday is coming. According to what he has done in the body. Whether good or evil. Considering, say, this is very important. Say, considering what his purpose and his motive have been. And what he has achieved, being busy with, and giving himself and his attention to accomplish. Everyone will stand before the Bema seat of Christ. You see, it's not so much as preaching the gospel. It's that some preach out of envy. Some preach out of lust. Anyway, Christ is preached. That is why there was a 20th it was doing it for. He said, when he saw this, he said, I have renounced the hidden things of his honesty. I no longer walk in craftiness. No, how do the word of God is? Because at the Bema seat of Christ, this will happen. The motives will be brought out. You can have a congregation of 1 million. You can have many branches. At the end of the day, it's going to start burning from this day. Why? You see, don't be afraid. If God begins to bring judgment to his house from the earth, it's because of love. So that they can correct it. So that's why I see ministries folding up. We can get their motives pure. Why? Because you see, it will show it. So we can give a reward. Praise the Lord. So that is that. Let's continue. So I put it here. I said that Satan always persecutes God's sent one. You need to ask. There's always a reason for something. There's always a reason. Why is it not? When talk, everybody faces persecution when you keep the word. But the kind of persecution that Paul was talking about, we just read, it is not ordinary persecution. It is like when you are playing a match. And now Messi is the most important guy. So just tell him, look, guys, don't worry. Just take him out. So everybody, from goalkeeper to defender. So everyone is going to try to head to score. The keeper will jump like this and just, bam. But it will free for Messi to say, why? No. Yeah, it's because he's skillful. So now begin to know how to use the word of righteousness, how to dribble. Because the intention of God is not that these things destroy us, but so that he can give God a legal basis to sentence Satan permanently to hell. That is why God is alive. God is a loving father. He's a loving father. I guess you see, when you don't understand, then you begin to cry. But say, count it all joy, or James. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, he's trying to fulfill work of faith. Let Peter have his perfect life, perfect in time. Wanting nothing. Say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. God will give you. He will give you. He didn't give Paul. If he didn't give Paul, then Paul would not have said in 2 Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Bible says at the end of his life, he said he dwelt in Rome. I'm no man. Disturbed him. That is what is known as perfect rest. You see, the man tested these things. You know what he did? There was a time later in his ministry, he was ministering like this. One boy fell down. The guy went there. I just laid on the guy. He said, his life is in him. Who told you didn't test it? We're going to get there as I continue. So he says, why does Satan persecute his sent ones? Talking about the apostles and the prophets. He does not want the church to be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's so simple. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They impart the anointing to you and they give you the teaching. Satan knows that once you are built on that foundation by practicing what you are told to do, you are building on solid rock. So once he knows that, that is why he brings the storm. He brings the flood. And he brings the wind. Folks, the wind is blowing. Right now. It's just like I said. He said that be ye doers of my word and not hearers only. Say, if any man hears what I say And he does them. It's like unto the man that dug deep. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And laid the foundation on a stone, on rock. Said he that hears and does not do. It's like him that built his house on sand. Type of sense knowledge. He said they built at the same time. Everything was okay. In fact, if you look at it in natural, by the time the one is still digging, the other one will have almost finished. I thought because he didn't dig deep. That is what is happening in the body of Christ today. So people seem to have gone ahead. But the plowman will overtake the reaper when their house begins to fall down. So are you with me? So he said the wind came, the floods rose, and the rains came. He said, and the house that was built on sand fell down. That's what Paul said. He said, I am a wise master builder. Let every man take it how he build. He said, if you build wood, hay, and stubble, he said, the day will reveal it. It is the way you know. It is the way we are in. But God wants to build precious stones, silver and gold. And that's what we have been doing. Because we thank God for the apostolic grace of the fathers in the house. And the prophet. It is not a lie. Oh. You see, one of the things that has kept me going all my life in part of different challenges I've had is when I look at these things and I read them, I say, wow, how did pastor see this thing? Wow, how did mommy see this thing? I said they will make a declaration. I will go and I'll be pondering it. All of a sudden, boom, God just, I'll say, what? So, thank God for that. As a wise master builder. The second reason, like I said, is you need apostolic impartation. Are you following me? So that you can be established to enter into the kingdom so you can inherit. If there's no impartation, you cannot. That is why we talk about these things. We use different terminologies. Covering. You need it. I gave you an example the other day of a greenhouse. I said in a greenhouse, they don't go and plant all these seedlings early. They put them in a greenhouse. That's like covering. So they begin to nurture them and begin to water them. So when they go to a starting stage, they will take them out. By the time the person in charge of the greenhouse knows, okay, by reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. They will now go and plant it outside. That is why another word has come and said, let the eaglets fly. Let them fly. So the one that has been taking advantage of nutrients inside the glass house, it will show. The one that has not been, it will show. That's why I said, Lord spoke to me when I was praying the other day. He said, the day is about to dawn. You will know he's putting on the armor of God. You know he's not. That's why I told them in the church, he said, put on your thumb so your nakedness is not exposed. Are you with me? So Romans chapter 1 verse 11. Let's put a scripture behind this. The eagles will fly, O Lord God Jesus. They will fly in Jesus' name. I will not fly beyond radar. There's a place you can fly beyond. Are you with me? Do you know? How do you know that you're out of covering? When things begin to happen, like it's raining outside now, it's very heavy. Let's assume that this roof is covering. By the time you go outside and rain beats you, then you know you're outside covering. Then you go back inside. That's why it takes affliction at times for people to learn before they come back. That will not be a problem. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. What does it say? For I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end. Say to the end that you may be established. So it's very, that's why Satan fights them. He does not want the saints to receive the fullness of their inheritance. I follow, which is the spirit that measure. Acts chapter 20 verse 2 say, I commend you the word of God. I say to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. Praise the Lord. So Paul says the next thing is that same that we're reading in the book of 1 Timothy. He said that he's not ashamed. You know, I talked about these things that God sent him to Gentiles. He said, look, I'm not ashamed. He said, because I know him whom I have believed, that he's able to keep that which I committed to until that day. So that word ashamed, if you look at it, you know, Bible, what shame is he talking about? He's trying to say, I'm not ashamed of my hope. What is that hope? I say, hope naked not ashamed. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Like I said the other day, if the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, that's those that are not born again. So how much more when we are born again? You can also say he's not willing that any of his children don't fulfill the fullness of our destiny. It's clear. Praise the Lord. So for I know whom I have believed. We can know God at three levels. Pastor has taught us. I'll just rush because of time. We can know God in our spirits. We can know God in our spirit and our soul. Yes, our mind. We can know God in our spirits, souls, and our physical body. Now, everybody that gets born again knows God at the spirit. That's where we call Abba Father. That is outer court. God wants you to move. That's where we all start from. Nobody starts from knowing God in their physical body. That's why, you know, I was telling Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. He was telling the Galatian church. He said, ah, who had bewitched you? Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. I want to give an example. Chapter 4, verse 9. He said, we are talking about knowing God. He said, but now, after that you have known God. He said, or rather, none of God. How come you turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements? Wherefore you desire again to be in bondage. That's the characteristics of little children. They are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, even though they are born again. So God wants us to grow up. Say, we will grow up in Jesus' name. So then we know God in our mind by revelation. That is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. You don't have to turn there. In which you have revelation knowledge. Understand your purpose and destiny. We all know it. I don't want to take time there. Now, the aspect that Paul was talking about, that's what I want to get to. When he said, I know whom I have believed. He wasn't talking about the outer court knowing. He wasn't talking about the holy place knowing alone. He was talking about the knowing of the most holy place where Aaron's rod budded and brought forth fruits and almonds. That's what he was talking about. Say, I know. You see, if you don't get to that place, you cannot know. Not like God spoke about Abraham. He said, I know him. That he will command his children. Abraham knew God. He said, I am fully persuaded. He said, he was fully persuaded that what he has promised is able to do. Let me continue. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Let me explain it with this scripture. Pastor, I've read it many times. The knowing we are talking about is the knowing in which that life for God that got you born again moves through intercession to your soul and then to your physical body. An emphasis has been coming to me over and over about travail. You see, you cannot know God in your flesh if you don't travail. It is not possible. It is not, God is not going to dash you. It is a reward. It is a reward. And there are some levels you will never enter into. That's why Paul said in this same Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he said, my little children, where you start from, of whom I travail in birth again. I'll travail for you before to get you born again. Until, say that until. That means little child, from baby to little child, to young man, to what? Father. Until Christ be formed in you. So that is clear that it's travail that will get you to the fullness of your destiny. There's a scripture I forgot to mention that time. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I can't remember the exact verse. I think it's verse 4. He said, you will groan in this body. He said, not that we should be unclothed, but to clothe upon. Let's read. Say, we that are in this tabernacle, we do groan. Being what? Burdened. Not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Is that not talking about resurrection? He's talking about, that's why he said life. He didn't say mortality. That by sort of life, what the life of Christ made manifest in your mortal flesh. I want to turn there. That 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, where Paul said that he said that the life of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh because of time. We all know the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. I follow him. Like mommy has shared recently about yesterday. Just started giving a prophetic word. He said, the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. He said, make sure you have all in your vessels. It's the same thing we're talking about. The Bible says, both Matthew, at midnight, a cry was made. I said, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye to go and meet him. Whereas five went to go and meet him, five went to go and look for oil. Why? Because they did not take the team the time. You see, it is no more midnight. The choir that is going out now, the day is about to dawn. The day is about to dawn. Go out and meet the bridegroom and put oil in your vessel. Are you with me? You see, Paul, this is what is going to determine those that are accepted and those that are not accepted. Now, you may not be there, but you must be under right spiritual covering. No, because all of us are not there. I'm not there yet. But I'm working under those that are there, that are there. So, what does it say? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Let me just explain this. What did Paul say? He said, we labor. Whether present or absent, we be accepted of him. Present, I mean, may not be accepted of him in this life. I thought that's what he says. For wherefore we labor that whether present, that is here on earth, or absent when we die or at the rapture, may be accepted of him. That is what accepted to why God rejected Cain. It will be clear to you when I explain this, what God told Moses that was shivering. He said, why did they reject Cain? Not just because of his sacrifices, but know what God told him. He said, why is your countenance sad? He said, sin light at your door, your eye gate, your nose gate. He said, that is what caused your problem. So it's not talking about maybe sacrifice. The reason why I did the wrong sacrifice, being of our blood, is because there was sin, unchecked sin. He said, undealt with. So it says, sin light at your door. The five physical senses. As his desire to rule over you. Somebody, you must rule over it. So that was why it was not accepted though. The same thing is going to happen today. If you don't have oil in sufficient measure in your vessel, you may be rejected. Now, I mentioned it was said, I'm persuaded, like Abraham was persuaded, that God is able to keep that which has committed to him. What is he talking about? He's talking about this teaching. The treasures in earthen vessels that brought the trouble. And the people that were under his covering. He said, I know God. I believe him. He's going to keep that which I've committed to him. That's what the master said. When he was about to go, in John chapter 17. He said, Lord, he said, I have kept them in your name, in your character, that he kept on walking in love. It was that love that covered this, those on him. He said, I lost none except the son of Perdition. He now prayed a prayer. He now said, it's in John 17, verses 12 and 15. That's how he kept them. He now said, look on, Father, I'm coming to you. Keep doubt that you have given me. Same thing that Paul was saying. So I know that I will keep that for I've committed to him. He said, I'll keep them from the evil one. Praise the Lord. So those are the things that God is keeping. And like Pastor said in that book, remember, that I mentioned, this is the day in which God desires his children to grow as quickly as possible. Say quickly as possible so that they can know him as Christ knew him when he was a man on the earth. True eternal life. John 17, verse 3, don't turn there. But said, a short walk will the Lord do. And he will cut it short in righteousness. Why? You see, the reason why God is doing this thing, Bible says that to the intent that the principalities and students of principalities, they may know the manifold wisdom of God. Bible says that in this end time, in the book of Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, that those that, no, we're talking about knowing God, those that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. So it's not the knowing of get born again, except you're under cover. It's not the knowing of just the mind. It's the knowing in the flesh. When the life of Christ is made manifest in your mortal flesh, they will do the works that did and greater. Praise the Lord. So that is what God is talking about. So in verse 13, he now begins to tell the apostle, Timothy, say, hold fast. Say, hold fast. Say, hold fast. The form of sound words, which you have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That means if you don't hold fast, you can lose it. Amen. That means something wants you to lose your grip on those sound words. That is why it raises persecution and affliction. We'll get to it. Thank you, mommy. Say, what are the sound words? Say, what are the sound words? Sound words is sound wisdom. Open Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Say, sound words is sound wisdom, which is instruction that fathers give. Proverbs 3, verse 21 to 22. Say, my son, keep what? Sound wisdom and discretion. So shall what they be what? Life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. So sound wisdom is apostolic instruction that fathers give. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He said, the things that you have seen in me and the things you have learned from me, say, these things do. Praise the Lord. So what is it? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. It says that, my son, obey the instruction of your father. He said, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. And attempt to know, understand. Remember now, sound wisdom, sound words, is sound wisdom, is sound instruction. It's not just ordinary words. So sound wisdom is the instruction of the how of the how. Verse 13, why are we to hold fast? Why are we to hold fast? He said, Jesus, thy life. Say, hold fast. Say, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. That means instruction will go if you don't hold it. You hold it tight down like a seatbelt. So when you are driving, maybe the car begins to go, the seatbelt will not be, picks you back. So you don't jump off the ship that those guys are going to Rome. Are you with me? For she is your life. Say, she is my life. She is my life. That is the difference. You see, an instruction tells you exactly what to do. Take two tablets in the morning, two in the afternoon, two at night. And over a period of time, you'll be okay. And per adventure, you are not okay. See your doctor. What am I saying? You go and see the pastor again, sir. Then maybe they will add more for you. Are you with me? So, this is our life. Now, let's read before we begin to close. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Look at the same thing that he told the Philadelphia church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Are you there? He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Sound words, sound destruction. Are you with me? I also will what? Keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Put in amplified, please. Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Say, because you have guarded and kept my word of patience and endurance, I have held fast to the lesson of my patience with the expectant endurance that I give you. I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial, testing which is coming on the whole world to try those that dwell upon the earth. Habitants of the earth. He's not saying that trial will not come. And then the keeping by God is not automatic. If you don't keep the structure under the Father, are you following me? God can't keep you. If you are told to stay here and you go out, the rain is falling, the flood is rising, and the wind is blowing, like Papa Ralph said, to test your covering, to check your foundation. Are you following me? And the wind to test your connection. By the time your mark was tested, you ran back. We'll not run back in Jesus' name. But see, by the time he came back, he got some peace, but he didn't get everything. He should have been the bishop of Ephesus. All he could do was become a scribe. You see, if you don't run, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, the night is fast spent. The day is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I must walk the works of him. For the night cometh when no man can walk. There will be a time if you don't begin to do this thing now. Let me give you an example. I don't just make it very simple. If you are supposed to travel from Ibadan to Lagos, or let me reverse the order. Let us say Ibadan is about destination. And you start from Lagos. Lagos is good in Jesus' name. That is where the destiny is. And you begin to come all the way. And they tell that, if I get Ibadan, it's going to be a curfew by 7 o'clock. What are you going to do? You're going to step on the gas pedal. Are you following me? And you begin to, that's not the time to branch to buy drinks at Ogiri. That's not the time to begin to play around, to waste time like Mary and Martha. And you know the funny thing, God didn't stop anybody. When Martha was cooking, Jesus Christ didn't stop him. Why? Because you could see the act. But this is what you have chosen. It was when he now began to speak against Mary. Master, why don't you? He said, look, come. Martha, you are cumbered about with much serving. He said, that which is dateful, Mary has chosen, and no one shall take from her. Bear no what you choose, oh. So they begin to run all the way to battle. They begin to go proper. So some people begin to stop on the way. Begin to waste time. Some people won't stop and branch in the camp. My God, have mercy. If you don't enter the gate of Ibadan before 7 o'clock, what will happen? They will close the door. They begin to knock. Master, we are preaching your thing. Say, no, I never knew you. That will not be an opportunity. You say, what am I saying? A quick walk will not do. And cut it short in ratchet. So we need to run like never before. We need to run like never before. Praise the Lord. So, that is it. Have you read verse 11? Let's read verse 11. 3. Behold, I come quickly. Say, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that with thy heart, that no man take the crown. It is not just a physical crown. But I talk about the crown of the glory. Say, that has crowned Adam, Lord, with the crown of glory. Talking about this manifestation of the glory of God. Now, verse 14. I'm going to stop now. How do you keep sound wisdom or instruction? He said, by the Holy Ghost. Are you there? Say, that good thing. Say, that good thing which was committed unto thee. Do what? Keep by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in us. So what are we saying? The only way you can keep instruction is not by wishing it. It's like Pastor said, mouth, heart, do. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit. That's how you keep instruction. That's how. It's not that, okay, I will keep it. It's not physical keeping. It's spiritual keeping. Are you following me? So we keep it using the blood, the word, and the spirit. That's how we keep instruction. So to end on a good note, well, everybody seems to be too quiet. You see, anything that God gives you, you have to keep it by the spirit. Say, strong men retain riches. God spoke to me some time ago. I will handle this. You could preach a major seminar on this. He said that good thing, that was committed to thee by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost. So every man that is married, either find it a wife, find it a good thing, and obtain the favor of the Lord. So that good thing that God has given you, keep by the Holy Ghost, by the washing of water, by the word. That's how you keep it too. Intercession. Pray. Travail. If you don't keep by the Holy Ghost, you are likely to lose it. But we are not going to lose it again. And peradventure, we have dropped it. There is still hope for us. God is calling us to come back. Are you following me? Let us speak those instructions and keep running. One last thing I forgot to say, boys. I'll just mention it. I'll stop. I've taken too much time. It was about Paul when he was going to Rome. The same thing he said. He said, the God that I serve, the God, he said, he has spoken to me today. Is somebody, the only person knows God in the flesh that can say that. He said, no life shall be lost. So make sure in this day that Jesus is in your boat. If not, you say Jesus, okay, that Paul, at least Paul is in your boat. And surely we will get to the other side. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another clap offering. Amen. That was... And you know, Pastor Dure doesn't know my main message, which is going to come later. But, you know, so much he said in this Bible study is in that direction. And what I would like to just amplify and leave with us is that he really hit the nail on the head. Turn to your neighbor and say, the day is dawning. It's not night again, no. All the works of our hands is being made manifest. And that's what I'm going to be talking about later on. And this is a time, I like how he ended. Let's pray like we've never prayed before. Let's fast like we've never fasted before. Let's obey like we've never obeyed before. You know, the consistency in holding fast to the instruction of God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is critical. You can't do it in the flesh. Everything that is flesh is being blown away now. No, it's only that which is built on the rock. It is only that which is given by the Spirit that will survive in these days. It's not coming, it is here. The trine of the whole world is not coming, it's here. It's here. We're already inside it, you know, and God is going to allow it. I'm not going to preempt my preaching. He's going to allow it to fulfill its course. Because why? Stand to your feet. He's coming for a glorious church that is without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. So everything that is spot, that is blemish, that is wrinkle, this trying of the whole world that God is allowing to come now is to remove the spot, is to remove the blemish, and is to remove the wrinkle in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Nikoto Frede Garadala Mashala. Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other one to God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for your servant. We thank you for your word that has been brought. A word in season indeed. That we should hold fast to the form of sound words. Sound wisdom. Sound instruction. Because indeed she is our life. And that is what is going to keep us in this hour that you have allowed to come, the world to come into, to try the whole world. So that's only those who hold fast to the form of sound words that will come forth like gold and silver and that will glorify your name. Have mercy on us. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord, we receive your mercy. For you, we receive, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood for cleansing your life and your power in sufficient measure. Father, thank you for your word that has come to me this morning to encourage me, to instruct me, to warn me, to inspire me to hold fast to the form of sound words. I receive fresh mercy and grace not to allow the sound words of revelation, of truth, and of instruction to depart from me. But I will keep it by your mercy and grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that in these difficult days, as this third day dawns, Lord God, I will come forth as gold and silver, showing forth your glory to my generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray in the Spirit. Mercy, Father, thank you. Mercy, Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, Real Shahi Rika Toloma Lambra Katoloma Tofredes Toloma 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 Tofres Zola Kakakoma Tolos Zefrede Ratoloma Tolomangardoloma Lombardo Fres Nongordoloma Tofredilim Shok Tolomangato Fredes Toloma Shili Kikoko Lombra Kakama Toloma Toloma Stofre Rotusco Fre Rotoloma Tofredengi Tusco Fre. In Jesus' name, let's give a lot of super clap offering. Amen. I want to leave it with us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you must, by the grace and the mercy of God, practice praying without ceasing. It's not optional. It's not optional. Learn, develop the, it's a culture, it's a habit. Pray a lot in the Spirit. And then commune with God with your thoughts, you know. Pray a lot in the Spirit. You never know what's coming in the next 5 minutes. You don't know what's coming in the next hour. You know what's coming in. I like that beautiful illustration of going from Lagos to Ibadan. You want to get to that before the curfew is lifted. You don't have time to start stopping in wherever to buy akara. You know how people are on the expressway, you know. And when they will say, let's stop and let's say, at Ogiri, want to buy bread, you know, and fish. You don't have time for that now. Pray without ceasing. God bless you. Hallelujah.